Please hear the word of God as it is written in Psalm 23. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, is established from of old. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy and will last forever. Please pray with me. Lord, teach us your way and lead us on the level path. Teach us to follow the way of Jesus. Give us understanding, and we will keep your word in trust and obedience with wholehearted devotion. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen is right. Well, good morning. Bill is with his mother-in-law and Nancy, and they're just taking care of Aletha, and they'll be back on Tuesday, and I have the privilege of standing in for him. So let's pray. Lord, center our hearts, center my heart on you, and may the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, and may they, by the time they hit the ears of your people, be your words and not mine. In your name we pray. Amen. We continue our series this morning about worship. The word of God comes to us with these simple words. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Ascribe to him all the glory and honor due his name. Experience God. Jump in. Jump off. Stop what you're doing and take a step sideways to acknowledge him. Take a chance and give it a whirl. And if we do, worship will be like living water to our parched soul. It will refresh us and give us renewed life. It will sustain us. It will bring healing and wholeness to our souls. So come and see. Come and taste. Come and praise. This is what God has in mind when he calls us to worship. It's about experiencing God, bringing all of ourselves to respond to him in what he does. And when we do that, when we meet with him, respond, and bring ourselves, we are changed by that encounter. Alfred North Whitehead put it like this. He said, "The worship of God is not a rule of safety. It is an adventure of the spirit, a flight after the unattainable." To do this requires all of us, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits. I liken it to jumping off of a high dive, if you've ever done that as a kid. You know, you inch your way out to the edge of that diving board. And if you've got the courage, you jump off of it or take a step. And when you take that step, you take a step, but you don't leave your body behind. You take your body with you. And you don't leave your will and your emotions behind. It all comes all at the same time. And the great news about that, if you're afraid of heights or you don't like water, the great news about that is if we bring all of ourselves into worship, we get to bring all of our confusion, our shattered lives, if they're shattered, our scatteredness, if we have scattered lives. When we bring our minds, we get to bring our doubts and our questions and our aha, I think I got it, Lord. We get to bring that. And if our bodies are broken, if they're diseased, if they're sore, if we get to bring those and offer our bodies to Him for His healing and for His blessing. That's the great part about it, is that we can bring all of ourselves. But how we experience worship is not quite like that, if you've noticed. We struggle in our worship. We struggle for a lot of different reasons. One of the main reasons, I think, is that everything seems so familiar. If we come with a church background, we're very familiar with so much of the music and perhaps the message and the prayers, and it feels so familiar, it doesn't feel like we're jumping off. Philip Yancey, one of my favorite authors, says it's a little bit like Yellowstone Park with Old Faithful. How many people have been to Yellowstone and seen Old Faithful? It's one of those places that you try to put on your bucket list at some point or show your kids. And he paints the picture of all of us gathered around the geyser itself. And if you've been there, you know that there are park benches that are in a circle. You know that there's a schedule that reflects the predictability of when old geyser. And they will erupt. And they have this schedule that goes out for days. And sure enough, Old Faithful shows up. And everybody who has come from miles around, sometimes different states, sometimes different countries, gather around and they go, wow, you know, what do you know? You know, it's here. It showed up. This is so cool. But Yancey also noticed that around this geyser, there were all sorts of people in the background making the park run. The park rangers, the waiters, the litter picker-uppers, you know, all the people that made that park run were so familiar with Old Faithful that only a few of them actually looked up to watch it erupt. For them, it was such a familiar thing that it didn't seem to mark their notice. It just didn't register on their radar as something that was as remarkable, as it is. That's like worship, I think, in the sense that God always shows up. And in this room, we're all gathered together, bringing ourselves to worship. And some of us are absolutely elated and awed by what we hear and by what we see. And some of us are trying not to be bored. We're trying to stay awake. And you know, that's just the struggle of worship. I think we all fit in that spectrum every day. There are times in my day when I am bored and I walk right past what God is doing. And then there are times in my life, in my day, when I go, oh my gosh, That was not me. That was God Himself. Oh, holy smokes. And my whole day can have that spectrum. And sometimes even I go through seasons, and I think you do too. I think we're alike in this way because we're human, where I have seasons of boredom. It's not just in a day. It may go on for weeks or months, and my spiritual life is dry. And then there are seasons in my spiritual life where I just can't drink enough of God. I just can't not meet with Him and hear what He's up to. And I think we all are there. And so we don't want to pile guilt upon us. Well, let's just acknowledge that the struggle to worship the one true God is indeed a journey and a struggle. One of my struggles is to deconstruct worship. Because of my time on staff, you know, when I come back into town and I haven't been to worship that last Sunday, I'll say, "How was worship?" And You know, what I'm really thinking is, well, how was the music? How was the sermon? How was the participation? How were the prayers? And in doing that, I deconstruct worship, and I miss the whole point. It's not a bad question to say, how was worship? But I'm asking it for the wrong reasons. How was worship? To turn that into a good question, it has to run something like this. How did we do as a congregation in presenting our lives to God? Were we transformed, even in a little smidgen of a way, by being in God's presence? Did we respond to God's amazing goodness that we've seen? That's a better way to ask, how was worship last Sunday? See, God calls us to step off that diving board, to throw ourselves into it, to forget ourselves. And there are some intentional things that we can do to help us in our struggle or help us in our journey. I want to talk about three different qualities of worship that might just put a few handles on it for us. The scripture I want to point us to right now is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul writes, "We, beholding the glory of the Lord, we beholding the glory, gazing, wondering, looking at Him, meditating on Him, we beholding the glory of the Lord are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The first handle is wonder. Worship is about wondering. When is the last time that we as a congregation stopped to wonder and behold God's glory? I want you to know that it wasn't that long ago. 4 weeks ago, we were in a different season, weren't we? Called Advent. I would be surprised if any of us went through all of those 4 weeks without stopping to wonder and behold the glory of God in the incarnation. Somewhere during those 4 weeks, I would imagine, I would just bet my last buck, that each of us in our own way stopped and said, "This is the most crazy story in the entire world, that God would leave His throne, take on flesh, and be born as a baby." Didn't you kind of wonder about that? Didn't you kind of shake your head at some point and go, this is beyond making up. This is just amazing. And wondering how and why God did that. We practiced wondering as a congregation. So we know how to do it. I really think we do. We just need to stop and be a little more intentional about it. When we wonder, it's a little bit more than wondering how things work. Like, you can go to Old Faithful and watch the geyser erupt and wonder what kinds of pressures underneath the soil and the rock that makes that geyser form enough pressure to spew all of that water out. We could go and be a geological guru about that and just be in hog heaven. I mean, I love stuff. I love to wonder how things work. But wondering is so much greater than that. If we stop at how things work, then it's so easy just to fall into worshiping the way it works instead of worshiping the one who makes it work. It's just a beginning to wonder how things work. We want to push it beyond that. We want to push it to, who is it that put all this together? And how in the world did they think about this? And how can this be so different than that? And yet it all works together. And we could spend an entire week on that Old Faithful geyser just wondering about how God did that. God has created us to ask questions like, how do things work? And He's created us to go beyond that, to give praise and wonder to Him who put it all together. But we need help, right? Because familiar things require greater intentionality. The more familiar we are with them, the more we can overlook them and just keep going our own way. So at some point, we want to stop and remember to wonder. You can wonder about the stars in the universe or the intricacies of our human body. As much as we know about both of those things, we haven't gotten to the end of the universe. We don't know what's on there. We don't know everything beyond that black hole. There is so much. And that's what Hollywood does. It creates stories to fill in what we don't know. Our bodies. If we knew everything about our bodies, we would have defeated cancer. We would have no more disease. We would know how to figure things out. It goes so much more beyond what we know. Here's a good one. What about the wondering? What about wondering about your spouse or your best friend? We live with our spouses. We call up our best friends. We live among a team. When is the last time we stopped and wondered about the miracle of that person being made in the image of God? Isn't it more like, well, who does the dishes today? Or did you take out the trash? Or why didn't you pay that bill? Or where is such and such? We are living around people who have the image of God in their hearts and in their souls. I don't even know how to move through that entirely. It's a wonder, isn't it? How about when you look in the mirror and you see those wrinkles, those of us who are over, can I say 35, 40? Do you look at those wrinkles and go, oh, I got to get rid of this one? Instead of looking at your wrinkles and going, there's a story behind that. And when you see, if you're too young to have wrinkles, and you meet somebody in the grocery store who has their fair share of them, stop and wonder, wow, what kind of stories went into their lives? Because I guarantee there will be defeat in those stories and there will be victories. There will be redemptions. There will be falling flat on their face. Because that's what we humans do. And what a wonder that we live through that. And God has more to say to us about it. Wrinkles are our friends. No, I heard that. Okay, we haven't even touched on things that God has done. Why would God want to adopt us as His children? Have you thought about that in a while? I think we spend probably more time thinking that we're not worthy, but He says you are worthy, and I want you in my family, and that should cause us to stop and wonder. What about His grace when we really screw up badly, and He says, my grace is sufficient? It's not okay that you did that, but my grace is sufficient. Or when His power shows up when we're weak. I don't get that either. There's much to wonder about, isn't there? So worship is about wondering, and it's also about witness. These are going to be all W words. They're great homiletics. Wonder and witness. Listen to Ephesians 3:10 very carefully if you can. His intent, Jesus' intent, was that now through the church, okay, that should make our ears perk up because that's us, through us, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Through us, we are witnesses to God's wisdom. Do you find that remarkable? I sure do. That right there is enough to wonder about. But we are witnesses. When we worship, we establish a witness. And let me give you a couple examples of what we witness to. When you show up on a Sunday morning, you are witnessing to the fact that God is worthy of stopping what you're doing and coming and joining His people. He is worthier than soccer practice or a soccer game on Sunday morning. He's more worthy than the bike race or the half marathon that you're going to run. He is worth more than sleeping in. He is worth more than having brunch at 10 o'clock at your favorite shop. He is worth so much more that you and I are willing to give up those other competitors for the Almighty God. We also give witness to the unity, and we've talked a lot about this, the unity of God's people, and we're all going, oh yeah, where do you see that? Well, we are working at that, aren't we? That we are so distinct, I think we could probably pick out any two people at random, and they will think differently about all sorts of different issues. But the thing that Christ's worship witnesses to the heavenlies about is that our identity in Christ is far greater than what we have different. And that's what we are saying when we gather. Our identity in Christ is brought forward when we baptize people. I wasn't here last week with Elena, and I regret that. I was in Oklahoma. When we baptize an adult or a baby, we are saying that God's sovereign grace is operable in this person's life, and he or she will become identified as God's people. God's identity is greater than our identity in our profession, in our opinions, in our free time, in our accolades. Our identity in Christ is absolutely rock solid, and that's what unites us. And the church gives witness to that. The Lord's Supper gives witness. In this table, we have the entire story of God's redemption. That Christ came as a man, lived among us. He died and was resurrected. And now he lives in us. All in this table. It's an amazing thing. And we become witnesses in our secular society that needs a witness that there is more to life than what they experience. There's more to life than being afraid, of being ambitious, of just trying to survive. And we know what all those things are like, you know. But that's why we come to worship, because we know that life is more than that. I had Anna read Psalm 93. And now we're going to talk about warfare, because I love this psalm, and it's just, sounds like such a benign psalm, but it is not. And so let's look at this for a second. Psalm 93. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world, it shall never be moved. Your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting. Those are the first two verses. They establish who God is. It's a declaration. It's not just, okay, here are the facts. It's a declaration into the heavenlies. This is God's word that goes out and does not come back void. It is a declaration. But here, listen to this, verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Do you hear the challenge? There is noise in the universe that is challenging your sovereignty, your authority. And as a believer in Christ, I can say, I'm hearing that challenge. Because of things that come in my life that challenge who really is in charge. Who is in charge? So I'd like to ask us, each one of us, what is threatening us? What flood is beginning to rise in our life? And maybe right now it's just at our ankles, and but we know it's rising fast enough that it's going to get to our knees, and pretty soon it's going to get up to our neck. And then it feels like we're going to drown, doesn't it? It feels like whatever it is out there, it's bigger than me, and I'm at its mercy. And then David answers that threat. More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea, majestic on high is the Lord. It's another declaration statement. David is saying, no, that's not true. These floods may be rising, but my God is not just more powerful than a flood. It is more powerful than the floods and the currents of a sea that's raging. Floods, you are nothing. And it declares again, in context of the struggle, who God is. Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever. So again, what is it that makes you feel like your life might capsize? What kind of threats are there? Praise declares what the truth is and calls those lies that the floodwaters are greater than your God. It calls those lies to account. And we can stand on the fact that our God is exactly who He says He is. And not only that, but that He lives inside of us. And that's why when we give witness, sometimes we give witness to ourselves because we forget. But we wage warfare for our souls. Praise overcomes Satan's strategies. It resets our hard drives. It activates us with God's power. And it helps us overcome trials. One last thought about all of this is that you and I can't make ourselves into better worshipers. Just good luck with that. I've been there, done that, still working on it. It doesn't work. We can't make ourselves better at anything. It's the Spirit that makes all this happen. It's the Spirit that we meet as we come together. And that's why we have prayers that say, Lord, come into our hearts. Lord, anoint us with your Spirit. Fill up this room. Because if we didn't have the Spirit, it would be drier than bone. It would be so brittle, it would just crack, and we wouldn't be changed for sure. But I don't know what it would be like. It would be like worshiping dry bones. We need his Spirit to come and bring life to us. And this happens one degree of glory to another in little bitty increments. I don't expect you or me to walk out of this room, you know, totally transformed. But you know what? I can expect that God, through this experience of worshiping with you, would just readjust me and transform me just a tad. And every time I come, I get another readjustment and another readjustment. So maybe by the end of my life, I might be a little closer to Christ's likeness. But this is all a work of His Spirit. And what it does mean is that our job is that we have to show up. And if not in this room, that we on a Sunday morning, we have to show up for praise or none of this happens. None of this wonder, none of this witness, none of this warfare can happen. That's our job description. That's to behold the glory of God. To respond to Him. And all we can do as staff is to help create an environment where this will happen. But it's the Spirit and it's you that come and make worship what it is. I'm excited about what Sarah and Gabriel and Anna have in store for this service about kinship. I'm out of the loop like you are about what that might entail. It's going to be the first week every month. And so it's not going to be every week. It's just going to be that first when we have the kids with us in service. And I think we're going to be able to get out of our familiarity. I think it's going to be good for us. I think it might be, wait, we don't do, what? We don't do that. I think it's going to really spur us on to greater worship. Please pray with me as we ask the Lord to have mercy on us. Let's pray. Oh God, have mercy on us in your faithful love. In your great tenderness, wipe away our offenses. Wash us thoroughly from our guilt. Purify us from our sin. We are well aware of our failings. Our sin is ever before us in our minds. Against you and you alone have we sinned. We have done what you see to be wrong, and we confess our sin before you. Create a clean heart in us, O Lord, our God. Renew a right spirit within us. Give us once again the joy of your salvation. Open our mouths to speak out your praise. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.